Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we can start off puja, 8:10 exactly. We'll get Suyan to nominate two people to help light the candle and the incense. And today is the 17th. Oh, 18 already, so fast. 18th of January, 2018, Thursday. We are having our class at Brother Suyan and Mifong's house. Okay. Eh? Tio Ho and Pak Masuri, come. Light the candle. Eh? okay, the new people. Huh? Go and help us light the candle and incense. The rest of us can stand. Get ready. Okay, come, let us rejoice, Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You all can be seated. Then let us get ready to prepare for puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, the faith, followed by the spiritual zeal, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting.
Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava
บุตตังภะคะวันตังอภิวาเทมิสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมธัมมังนะมัสสามิสุปาทิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิOkay, you can be seated and turn to page 1. We are Chanda Vandana. Page 1, Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa buddhang saranang gacchami dhammang saranang gacchami sanghang saranang gacchamiDhatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami Dhatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Dhatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchamiTatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyamiSuramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Now we are Chandapadipa Puja, offering of lights. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena Tamadang SenaTiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyangtang Puja bacanamuttamangVanna Ganda Gono Petang Etang Kasuma Santatin Pujayami Monindasa Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasume Nanena Punnena Mattena Chahotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasa Bhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang ParikapitangAnukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tunobante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patigan hatumu temang adivase tunobante bojana parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumu temang. Let us chant the puja aspiration, huh? Based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses out the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Jam. Badang puje me. Damang puje me. Sanghang puje me. Okay. You can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of meditation. Eh? We are of the like. Oh, okay. You are new. Completely new. Do you attend any of the Dhamma class before? Any exposure to Buddhist teaching? Oh, SJBA. Ah, good. You have attended those things. Ah, then easy. Okay, good. Okay, I'll give you some very basic instruction. Eh? Then afterwards, we'll give you some transcript book, eh? Which is a typical transcript of what we do on a Thursday class. Then there are also some short notes on understanding meditation. So all this, you can have a copy and take it back. Then you read it up. Then it will help you understand how to develop the meditation and the teaching. So with that understanding, the next time you come, it will be easier for you. Okay, no problem. So what we will do is, I will set an alarm. It will ring in half an hour's time. Then we will off the light. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed. For those who need instruction, I will give you the necessary instruction. Okay. Okay. Just relax body and mind. Huh? Make sure your whole entire body and mind completely relax. Then check your posture. Make sure you have a stable posture. Then backbone, try to be straight. Then just breathe in, breathe out normally. Yeah? Then silence everything. Close your eye. Then move your attention to your forehead. Huh? You just feel your forehead area. Huh? You can detect any tension, any tightness, or any stress within. You just relax it. Feel it soothingly. Relax, relax, and relax. Then you sweep this mind down to your eye muscle. Normally after a tired day, your eye muscles, they are quite stressed up, eh? Not relaxed. So what you do is you feel, again, don't think, eh? Just feel. Then if there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax them all. Feel the entire eye muscle soothingly relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle, strand by strand. Feel it soothingly relax. Then relax, relax, and relax into it until your entire facial muscle is relaxed. Then to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When there is joy, your facial muscle relax by itself naturally. Then after that, you can recite, follow what I recite to bring about loving kindness, radiation of loving kindness or metta to bring about inner well-being. The mind sweeping method can bring about inner peace. Then inner well-being, you need to radiate love and metta. So you can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, you must feel it with your heart. You must radiate from your heart. Then initially you radiate to your own body and mind. So when you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, you must feel your entire body and mind. Be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and joy or happiness in your entire physical body. Each and every cell, feel it, have this well-being within. Then may this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May this body and mind too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we can extend or radiate this love or metta to all our loved ones. May our loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. You can visualize them and radiate this love or metta to them. Then may they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we extend this love of metta. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, including all Kayanamitas, fellow cultivator, meditator, may they all too be well and happy, well and happy. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, May there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then we can extend this love of metta to all beings. May all beings within the whole of Subhanjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our entire solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings throughout the entire universe or existence, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, free from all danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within all their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle. Just feel and relax every part of your facial muscle. Then sweep your mind down to your neck. Feel, relax. Shoulder, feel it, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Then bring your attention back to your shoulder. Feel, relax. Then now you sweep it down to your chest or heart area. Just silence everything and just feel. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration within your chest area. You just silence everything and stay with it. Yeah? But if you are new, you have yet to be sensitive to detect all this, then you can just feel your heart area like you feel your forehead. Then feel it soothingly, relax, relax into every part of your heart area. Then after that, you can sweep down your body and mind to feel your stomach. Again, feel, relax. Don't think, just feel, relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen, silence everything and just feel and relax into it. Then you move it on to your buttock, feel, relax. Your leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole of this mind sweeping method. From your leg, feel, relax. Move your attention to your buttock, again, feel, relax. Then move your attention up to your abdomen. Silence everything, feel, relax. Then move it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then you move it up to your chest area or heart area, relax and just feel. Silence everything. Then you move it up to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, then neck, feel, relax. Then you sweep your attention from the chin up, the facial muscle, soothingly relax them all, feel and relax, feel it soothingly, relax, relax and relax. Then you move it up to your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now you should have inner peace. Your mind should be more calm or relatively more quiet. So what we need to do now is to stabilize this peaceful mind, this quiet, silent mind that we have trained via the mind sweeping method to decondition the heedless thinking. So I will teach you another skillful mean. The Buddha called it Anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So instead of feeling your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Just silence everything and maintain attention in front of your nostril. Then when you can detect the breathing, flow with it, means breathing in, the awareness is with the breath. Then breathing out, again, the mindfulness or the awareness is with the breath, breathing. So breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Just develop this practice or cultivation. For those who are new, initially may not be easy, because if you are not trained, within split second, this mind wanders off. But don't worry. Every time you want the song, you just come back to your nostril, maintain attention, and again train. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Then every time the mind wants the song, just bring it back. Expect this to happen many, many times before you are trained. If you are patient, you have the understanding, not long, maybe 10 minutes or 15 minutes, you can settle down. Then when the mind is quiet and peaceful, just aware, your anapanasati has already started. And when this anapanasati becomes stable, you will experience very good meditative state. You will experience piti. Piti is a type of spiritual calmness, meditative peace that will arise when your mind is calm and peaceful. It is calm and peaceful because it is just aware without thought, not agitated, quiet. That's how you experience the peace, the inner peace. Then together with the inner well-being, bring about by loving kindness, you will have very good mind state. Then your mind will be very quiet, very peaceful. Then you continue with the training of the anapanasati until this piti become very, very stable. Then relax into it. The first support for meditation is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Don't focus, don't concentrate. Just relax into it. Then allow it to be. When you can relax into it, this piti will become more and more refined. Then your anapanasati will be more and more refined until your breathing becomes very, very fine. Then you will experience a very, very soothing type of long breath. Like every breath is quite long, take a while. Then all of the movement within and without, they are very clear to you. You can do that and relax into it. You will experience a more refined mind state. From piti, it will become sukhang or sukha. Sukha is spiritual blissfulness, more peaceful and more refined than piti. You will experience a type of blissfulness, very, very blissful. Then you continue to relax into it, silent everything and allow the mind to become more and more quiet, more and more refined, until finally it settles down and become very quiet, with little or no thinking. And even the breath become very short, then very subtle, like no more breathing. So this is the ultimate aim of training this mind, so that it can be in the state of sati. We call it the meditative mind, the silent mind, which is in the state of tranquility and stillness, or we call it pasati. So I will let you train your mind until you can develop that stability. Then later on, for those who already know how to meditate, use that trained mind to understand things, to develop the meditative understanding. Then you can silence everything and just let things be. All of the mind state that arise, they will start to slow down until it return to its original state of silent mind, quiet mind before the stirring. Then you experience deep peace, deep stillness, deep tranquility. Then this mind become very sensitive. It can meditate. It can understand many things. So this is the initial training and the meditation that you need to understand. Okay, I will off the instruction. Then when the handphone ring or the alarm come off, you can either continue to meditate if you still want to, or you can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation so that we can commence our second session. Okay. Okay, for those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then these are the trained mind state that you need to use to live life, to develop the meditation in the midst of life. We call it the training of the mind to be ever mindful in the midst of life. So this is the daily mindfulness. So the form of meditation is just to help you to train your mind. You need to train them. Then for those who already know how to meditate, is to help you stabilize your silent mind, the meditative mind, the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. You need to stabilize them. You can use either an object of meditation that you are familiar with, or you can just relax, silence everything, and stay at your object of meditation until the object of meditation, it can be breathing, rising, falling, or even a mantra or a chanting. You develop them until it becomes very quiet, very still, until the mind is in sati. Then when the mind enters sati, this mind is different. It is the meditative mind that is constantly aware, ever mindful. Then this mind can understand, can meditate, it can give rise to understanding as it develops the investigation. We are the silent mind. Then you will understand many things. You will understand how you function as a human being, how your senses help you to arise consciousness, and at the moment of contact, when consciousness arises, whatever that comes with it, you will also understand. And you will be able to witness all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, all the various mind states that arise and pass away, their characteristics. Then all this can bring about clear understanding for you to develop the wisdom, to insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self, and empty nature of existence. Then with those understanding, your views, your opinion, your understanding, they will be straightened. You will become different, then you will not have any more wrong view like before. And this is how you slowly purify. Then you use this trained mind state to live life, to cultivate noble eightfold path. That is the ultimate understanding. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation, the first part, then after that we will chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipiso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Paseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Sakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakaneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us be respectful, Pajo. Pedang puja ini, damang puja ini, sanghang puja ini. Okay, you can be seated and just relax yourself. There's a short note in front of you, eh? So you can turn to the short note. We'll go through the short note first. Eh? Then later on, if we have time, we will go for the reporting of meditation. Okay. This is a short note for our previous Tuesday class, dated 4th January 2018. And this short note, the draft was prepared by Puan Chi. Then I edited it. Then we have this here. This is to allow us to recall to mind, huh, what are the Dhamma that we have discussed. And this short note is to remind you of the topic that we have gone through. Then some of these short notes are also added to let you have a clearer understanding. Yeah? Because you listen alone, if your cultivation has not reached those level of understanding, chances are you cannot comprehend. Then you cannot recall them. Mm. But if it's given in short notes, then you can read them and develop the clear understanding. Mm. Because from the previous experience, when we went through the Heart Sutta short notes, it was a period of over 1.25 years, I think 15 months of sharing of the Heart Sutta. Then during that time, I think Sister Lee prepared some short notes. Then I edited them. Then surprisingly, that one, every lesson we do, almost every lesson we do, then the short note came out to be very, very useful, very beautiful. Then after that, we even compile them all into the Heart Sutta short notes that you have for us to use during retreats. In fact, all the essential teachings, the basic sainthood way, they are all in that Heart Sutta short notes. Then the further teaching, which is beyond the sainthood way, which is the bodhisattva way, only the last 3 years, the conditions start to arise. In fact, 2 years plus, the conditions start to arise. Then we have some sharing. Then we had 4 or 5 sharings, I think, on that cultivation of the bodhisattva way because of condition, and quite a lot of Kainamata at that time expressed their interest. Then through this 4 or 5 sharing session, some Kainamata volunteered to did the transcript. Then I edited it. Then I found that it was such a beautiful sharing, it can form into a book. So we have the blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. That book is very useful, very important. If you want to develop the higher understanding, the various, what they call, understanding of the Bodhisattva Way and how to make affirmation, determination, to prepare yourself for future cultivation. Even when Buddha Sasana is no longer available, if you follow that guidance in that book, you will be able to develop a lot of understanding and transform your cultivation radically, so that in future, whenever you come, you will have this understanding because of your vows, your aspiration, your adhitana or determination. So all this with aspiration invoked through merits, great faith and sincerity, it can bring forth the causes and conditions for all this understanding that you have developed this life into all future birth. So that whenever you come, you will have the condition to connect back early. And when you connect very fast, you recall all this teaching, the right view, the right understanding, because you vow to have this right view and right understanding, and you commit yourself to have all this to your understanding. And this life, where the Buddha Sasana is around, the condition is the best. It is the best window for you to vow and determine strongly with faith, sincerity and understanding. Then cultivate diligently, especially this life, so that all this can become a reality. It can come to fruition. Then this life itself you may transform and realize the fruition. Then in future it is very easy for you to continue with the cultivation. And because of that, we now started the short notes for all our classes Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday. This was suggested by a group of Kainamita, mainly Brother Jin Hao. He asked for volunteer. Straight away, within less than 1 hour, 3 Kainamita volunteered. And these people who volunteered, they are very, very full of faith and sincerity. So they will learn very fast. So we should rejoice and thank them for contributing to the availability of all these short notes. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also, we have to thank the Kayanamita. We are all this photostatting printing was donated by our Kayanamita funds. So you all get to partake in this wholesomeness. Then also thank Sister Padmasuri. She take the trouble to go and photostat and get ready all this for us. Those going for the retreat, you will be having a set of the short notes too. You will also have the Tuesday class and the Sunday class. But the soft copy we have already circulated on the My Kayanamita website. And also the My Kayanamita emailing. If your email is on the My Kayanamita, you can receive them. Otherwise, you can write an email to this address. Send your email to mykayanamita-subscribe@yahoogroup.com. Then your email will be permanently listed there, so that any of the sharing we send out, you will receive it through your email. Okay, that's just a briefing. Now we will go through short notes for Brother Teo's Thursday class Dhamma sharing dated 4th January 2018. Sister Yun Chan's friend, a couple from Canada, shared their experience of having studied the Dhamma for over 20 years, thinking they have understood the Dhamma. But after reading my transcript books, they finally realized that they still don't really understand the true teaching. They were happy that Brother Teo was able to express the Dhamma so clearly to them that their faith has been greatly strengthened. Brother Teo realized that not only this couple, in fact, many so-called Buddhists also lack the real understanding. Hence the reason why the following very useful topic were discussed that night. So the heading is, why do we seek religion or the teaching of the Buddha? This is to make it more general, not necessarily Buddhist. Means human beings, living beings, mainly human beings. Why do they seek religion? So this is very important. We have a lot of Kayanamita came to our class or came to see me. They are not all Buddhists. They are all from different religion and belief system too. But most of them are traditional Chinese family. They call themselves Buddhists because the traditional Chinese family do a lot of things that resemble Buddhist. But this is the Chinese culture mainly, because we also go to temple. But this temple may not be Buddhist temple. This temple are normally Chinese temple. We call it Chinese temple. Some are dainty like, some are Mahayana temple. And some are, of course, Theravada tradition temple. Then some are Tibetan tradition. Then some may even go to different type of dainty-based type of temple. So the first topic that we discussed was very good. Why do we seek religion? Have you all ever asked yourself that question when you start searching? Why do you come to learn the Dhamma or Sikh religion? What are the possible reasons? You look at the whiteboard, the answers are there. That's why I purposely didn't rub it off. So we go through one more time, see whether it's relevant or not. The first reason is to be happy. Reason to seek religion. One of them say to be happy. Then after that, another one say to have peace of mind. Are these relevant? Most people will look for this, right? Because they want to have a peaceful mind. And they want to be happy, because most of them are not happy. Then the second reason is what? To understand life and its meaning. Have you ever questioned yourself? What is life? What really is life? Why am I here? Who am I? What am I? What is this whole immense universe all about? So there are a lot of questions that need answers or clarification. So all this, if you study this Buddhist teaching, cultivate this Buddhist teaching, develop the understanding of it, it will give you a very good answer to all these questions. And in fact, you can answer them all very well and develop the clear understanding. Then the third one, of course, is the most common. This one, I realize, is the most common. Well, a lot of people come to me because of this problem. To overcome one's problem. So in life, as we have gone through, under the First Noble Truth, the Buddha proclaimed the various type of condition that can bring about mental suffering, prevalence of suffering, the eight conditions. So these eight conditions are the eight realities of life and existence. If you go through the teaching, you will come to understand that all of your problems in life are related to the eight realities. They either involve birth, old age, sickness, or death. And this is already a very big topic. If you live long enough, you will experience birth, going through the aging process, then experiencing disease, injury. Then the last one is, of course, confronting death. So what is death? Who died? What died? These are the questions that people cannot understand. And because they cannot understand, they entangle themselves. They think the form and mind is real. They think there is a person that really live life, exists through life, then having all these problems of life. So when you have such delusion, you cling and hold on to your thought, your emotion, your feelings. They will be the cause of suffering when you grasp and cling to this human being, or so-called five aggregate or form of mind that the Buddha break us down into, or define us as the five aggregate. We have a physical body, the first aggregate of form. Then we have the consciousness that is trapped inside. The Buddha said, if you inquire, what can your mind do? He is able to break it down into four more aggregates. Because our mind can feel. We have this ability to feel the aggregate of feeling, hot or cold, pleasant or unpleasant feeling. Our tactile sensation, it can give rise to feeling. And whatever we experience through consciousness, we can feel them. Like through the visual consciousness or the seeing consciousness, we can feel based on our perception. Then the mind is capable of perceiving. We call it the perception aggregate. Everything that you come to experience in life through your consciousness, your senses, the seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process. There is perception within them. Like seeing consciousness, within our field of vision, we can perceive many things. All of the color, shape, and form. The beautiful form. And even the Buddha image, the lighting, the painting in this house. You can also perceive my voice. Then if there is any incense or fragrant smell, you can also perceive them through your smelling consciousness. Then when you eat certain food, You can also taste them through your taste consciousness. You can perceive what type of food, whether it's sweet, salty, hot, or whatever. Then you can also perceive mental images in your mental process. You have your sankhara, movement, activity of mind state. You can have perception within. So all these are the power of mind to perceive through your senses, through your consciousness. That's why the first aggregate is feeling, then perception. In Pali is called Vedana Sanya. Then the third one is the most powerful. The Buddha called it Sankhara. Sankhara is your mental activity, mental state, everything that your mind can do, including perception and feeling. The whole content of consciousness is Sankhara. And this is a very, very powerful aggregate, because everything you do within the content of consciousness is Sankhara. Then the last one is your mind can be conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So this fourth aggregate of consciousness is like the receptacle that holds the content of consciousness. So like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness initially before you input the content. The moment the content went in, the consciousness becomes a thought. And that is the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. And the form that is in the consciousness comes from your perception. Your perception is the one that takes in the external form into your mind. Like this Buddha image, external form, how it enters your mind through perception. Even my voice, same. Then whatever that is in your thought process, it comes from perception. Like when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, the external sense data went into your mind through perception. So that's how the four aggregate of mind together with the mental form that comes in through perception become the five aggregate. And the Buddha is interested in the second aspect. But whether it's the first or second, the Buddha said, if you deludedly grasp and cling, thinking that it's real and it belongs to you, you will suffer. That's why he said attachment, craving, clinging, born of self-delusion, is suffering. And this problem of suffering is prevalent all over the world. Every living being have to confront them. If you don't develop the wisdom and the understanding, you will suffer. So to overcome one's problem, this one is very common. Nowadays, a lot of people have issues, especially mental problems, leading to depression and all those things. Sorrow, lamentation, suicidal thought and all those things. These are very common. Then the other problem is, of course, relationship problem. That one also high percentage. Divorce, problem with their children, problem with their loved ones, problem with their whatever friends or neighbors or somebody who have developed some close relationship with you. Then suddenly some misunderstanding happen. Then it lead to problem. So like divorce case, girlfriend, boyfriend, then sometimes you have other complicated issue when they come out to work. They got career problem, added problem. Then as they work too hard, stress themselves out, they develop a lot of sickness and disease. Then as you get old or you go through the aging process, you develop a lot of illness too. Then all these are what they call health problem. And when you deal with money, when you do business, or you have a household to take care, then you have expenditure. So you may have financial problem, cash flow problem. So all these are typical life problem. Then sometimes you break the law, society's law, you end up with police case, drug addict problem. Then if you commit some CBT or what, you get yourself entangled with the law. So they call all this white collar crime, then sometimes you break the law, you kill people, you kidnap people, you harm people, then sometimes they go and do all this nasty thing. Then sometimes problem come from nature. When nature's disasters strike, like earthquake, building collapse, flood, tsunami, and all those things, it can lead to death, separation, and a lot of other related problems. Then during economic crisis, your whole financial asset investment may be wiped off or affected. So these are all the various type of problems. And the Buddha lists them under the 8 reality or condition. And this one is the most common, I realized. Then of course, the last one, this one also for serious cultivator, they like this. To seek enlightenment so as to end all suffering, so that you can have the wisdom to live the noble life of an enlightened being, so that you don't have to suffer anymore. No more problem, no more sadness, no more unhappiness, despite what happened. Even when you are sick, about to die, you got no problem. Because you know exactly what death is, who die, what die. Then when you understand this teaching, you will know how to take care of the most important factor that condition your life, your birth. Because the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So the Buddha said, you take care of karma. Karma will take care of your life, because your life depends entirely on karma. So this understanding can liberate your mind, can free you, and give you a lot of good condition. You will have a lot of good karmic condition to reap all of your wholesomeness, your goodness. Then together with the wisdom you have developed through this cultivation of the Buddha's teaching, your mind can be completely liberated, and you can live the good life. Life become meaningful and wonderful, and you can experience all of the great pristine beauty and wonders of life. And this type of life is difficult to come by. When your mind is trained, it listens to you, it serves you well, it has no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no more negativity. And because it's trained, you want it to be quiet, it's quiet. You want it to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. You want it just to be aware, to understand things, to appreciate things. You will just do that. You will not be like normal human being, think a lot, project their thought, worry about this, worry about that. And like problem is unending. Yeah. Everything is like unending. They got so much duty, so much thing to attend to. Sometimes you keep a diary also cannot cope with your problems. Then as you go through life, you realize the more thing you own, the more problem you have. Even your property, you worry about them. You need to take care of them. Then like your property, when you say you own, it's like you very happy, oh, I own this house. But you doesn't know the hassle that comes with ownership. You have to pay a lot of what they call government taxes. The quick rent, the assessment rent, the insurance. Then you may even have to pay for your sewage. Then property gain tax later on. Then you need to do maintenance. You got to keep this house in proper order. Then if you want to sell, you got to do a touch up too. Then you need to have the transfer. You have to pay stamp duty. Also, so now GST. For no reason, no. You own a very expensive house, let's say 1 million. GST alone, the government wants 60% from you. Then you have property gain tax. You have to pay those things too. Then the buyer have to pay stamp duty and various type of duty. Then when you die, I was told they want to introduce back estate duty. So whatever you leave behind or your loved one inherit, before they can inherit, if there's estate duty, you have to pay them. And most of the people who have a lot of wealth, they have them in asset. They seldom have a lot of liquid cash. So if your estate duty is quite substantial, you may have to liquidate your asset. And when you are not around, it's not easy to liquidate. You need to trust the trustee, or they call the administrator of your estate. They get a letter of administration. Then they get people to administer the asset. So, you got anything to add or not? Any other reason apart from those listed on the whiteboard? Anybody has other reason why you seek religion? Or the Buddhist teaching? Anybody? You can just raise your hand. Apart from all this, is there any other special reason? Maybe we miss out something, I don't know. Any other reason? Yes.
Encourage people to confess their sin.
Oh, confess their sin. Oh. So, okay, your question is, what about those religion who wants people to confess their sin before they can join them? Yes. Yes. So I think this particular religion, I think most people are familiar. You have to confess your sin. So confessing your sin, got two types. One is the original sin. According to that religion, all human beings, the moment you are born, you have this original sin. And it seems, according to their religion, the original sin came from Adam and Eve that ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit, the fruit that gave rise to the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. So after Adam ate that fruit, humanity fell. The original sin was cast. That's why for them, they have to seek forgiveness. Then this asking for confession, there is another one, because they have the Ten Commandments. And these Ten Commandments, you're supposed to keep them, because these are commandments laid down in the religion. We have five precepts, they have Ten Commandments. So for them, if you break any of your commandments, you can go and confess your sin. But they confess it with the pastor, understand, or the person who is on duty that day. So you have seen this box in there, where one side is the pastor or the person that is in authority to counsel you. Then the other side is the devotee who wants to confess their sin. So normally this one is done in private, understand? So they say all your sin, all your problem, the pastor will know. But somehow, sometimes the pastor was not there, somebody else is there. Then you are talking to somebody you don't know, you thought it's the pastor. That's how the story will come out. So this is their tradition, and I believe they have their reason for that, because they believe in the original sin. Then their way of allowing the devotee to speak out is, I find it not bad, understand, nothing wrong with that, but it's a way for people to pour out their problem. So sometimes they get certain good advice, then they recover or they become better. Yeah. And no matter what you do, if you keep it to yourself, bottle everything up, it's going to be worse. Because it's going to, like they say, like a bomb. If you bottle up, it will explode one day. Because until you cannot take it, you will burst in anger. Then you will enter depression and all those things. But if you have a way of releasing it, relating it to somebody who understands, who is a good listener and can give you some very consoling or beautiful, they call it God's words, or advice from the Bible and all those things, then you feel good, understand? Then temporarily, I think it can help. But without wisdom, this, what they call solution, is normally not a permanent fix. It's just a temporary fix. So for us Buddhists, it's entirely different. We have this teaching to ask him for forgiveness. Then certain type of religion also, they practice it very well. Especially the Muslim religion. In the month of what they call Ramadan, where they have their puasa. It's supposed to be a holy month. And it's a very good practice to ask for forgiveness during those months. And I don't know about other religion, but as far as the Buddhist religion is concerned, I understand there is a nature's law. If you ask for forgiveness, seek repentance, it can help you as a human being, your form and mind. It can help you break your karmic obstruction. If you don't ask for forgiveness, this karmic obstruction can be very severe. And sometimes it's so severe, it can obstruct you from receiving truth or help from people. It's as serious as that. That's why they can go into severe mental suffering, mental misery. Then they have to reap what they sow, what they did to people in previous life, or many, many previous lives. They have to pay back. They have to experience all this suffering that they inflicted on other living beings. So when this karmic heat, the conditioning is very powerful. The way they manifest, if you don't have the Dhamma, you cannot untie. That's why a lot of people go through mental suffering, depression, sadness, sorrow, lamentation. All this is because of karma. When you inflict all this to fellow living being in previous life or past life, when you are in the position of authority and power, then you make a lot of funny decisions that only benefit you, selfish religion. Then sometimes you have this violence and all those negativity of mind state in you. So your instruction causes a lot of suffering, misery. Then sometimes because of one man, they can create so much human suffering. They create war. Then through misunderstanding, through the use of very harsh words, war can erupt. Misunderstanding can lead to a lot of what they call life problem and situation. So the word misunderstanding is a very powerful evil root. When you lack understanding, you misconceive and misperceive a person's condition and situation, then you develop the deep hatred, the anger, the emotion, and you make that funny decision to take revenge or to kill, to punish. Then sometimes because of war, they do a lot of killing, destruction, to a lot of what they call victims. Then they destroy their property, the act of cruelty and all those things. Sometimes they even loot, rob, rape, and steal everything. So these are the karmic thing behind. So when it comes, this life, you don't have the wisdom and the understanding to seek forgiveness and repentance, then the Buddhists go a few steps further. After you seek repentance or ask for forgiveness, you must do it sincerely. Then you must determine not to repeat all this evil or cause any more of this suffering to fellow living beings. Means that sincerity to repent through an understanding is very important. That you are sincere, you really ask for forgiveness and you repent, vow not to do all this again. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind to develop the wisdom so that you take care of karma. Then the Buddha also taught us, how do we avoid evil? We have to keep our precepts. Your precept is fundamental, is the basis of avoiding evil. You check the five precepts. They are the major wrong action. If you violate any of the five precepts, you are either a deluded person, selfish, or evil person with a lot of anger, hatred, emotional negativity, envy, jealousy, craving, selfishness, desire, and even deceitfulness. And sometimes because of lust. Then delusion is very powerful. Because of delusion, the other evil roots of greed and hatred, they also set in. So take for example our first precept. We chant Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. What does it mean? You have to understand. Otherwise, you just like parroting. It doesn't serve you. We are here to renew our precept. We do it because we know the seriousness of violating this precept. That's why we want to renew and remind us that we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. So the question we have to ask is, why did the Buddha ask us to do that? Why must we abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings? Not only human beings, any living creature. The question is very simple. If we inquire, we will know who kill, who harm, what type of people will break that precept? Yeah? What type of people? Yeah? Violent people, correct or not? Selfish people, deluded people. All the three evil roots are there. Otherwise, you won't kill, you won't harm. Out of anger, out of envy, jealousy, hatred, you kill. Sometimes selfishness, because of business rival or what? Then because of inheritance. Or certain selfish intention, you can kill, you can harm, you can kidnap and do a lot of funny things. And all these are evil action. Then when the fruition of it comes, you reap what you sow, people will kill you, harm you, kidnap you, rape you, loot you. Then your ill-gotten gain through deceiving people, cheating people, robbing people, when karma comes, you will lose back all those wealth to people. They will rob you, cheat you, deceive you. Sometimes there's no condition for people to rob you, cheat you, deceive you, or through economic crisis cause you to lose. The nature's law, they call it nature's disaster. They will wipe off a lot of your property and asset. And sometimes your property, they can just be destroyed. That in the earthquake or tsunami, that you got too much killing, the group karma. All these people will come together and they will get the friction, the karmic friction, which will end up massive death, like the tsunami and other things. People who are not supposed to be there, they assemble there. And sometimes you saw all this plane being hijacked or burst into flame and other things. These are because of collective karma. So people from all over the world, they will assemble into the same plane or in the same ship. Then this disaster can happen. So coming back to your question of repentance, seeking forgiveness, all the other religions they may have their reason, but for the Buddhist one, I've already explained. We go two steps further. The first step is after we ask for forgiveness and repentance, it will break the karmic obstruction or lessen it so that that obstruction will not be there, so that you can have access to people who can help you. Then when you have this condition, the karmic obstruction not there, you will have the condition to listen attentively and have possibility to come out of it. Yeah. But if the obstruction is there, no matter how, you cannot meet up with these people. Then even when you meet up, you cannot understand what they say. And you will just go away again. But if you have helped people before in your previous life, like this life, sometimes you bring people with problem to somebody who understand, then they recover. These are the conditions, karmic friction that can arise. So in future, let's say without sasana, without the Buddha Dhamma, the sasana, the era where the Buddha Dhamma is still around, then you through your ignorant delusion and karmic negativity, maybe you fall into problem, depression, health problem or whatever, then you become depressed. But because you help people before, there will be people who will come to you and help you and bring you to somebody who understands, then you will recover. That's why when you have condition to perform certain wholesomeness, goodness to help people, you should try your best sincerely to help them, because if they recover, you also rejoice. And this will pave the way for you to have good karma, good condition in the future to receive help from people. Then, like I say, the Buddhists go one step further. After your karmic obstruction is gone, you stand a better chance of recovery. Then if you move to the second step, if you determine from that day onward, you are sincere in your asking for repentance and forgiveness. It's just like the case where a lot of people are like parroting, okay, I forgive you. Or I seek your forgiveness. They say, please forgive me. But inside, not sincere, understand? They want you to forgive. After that, they go back their own way as well. Then behind the back, they even talk. You're that guy. I give face on you. That's why I also forgive. Otherwise, I try you to know. Maybe under pressure from the in-law or the Tai Lo and all those things. So if you do that, it's not going to work because your mind state is not sincere. But the Buddhist way is different. You ask for forgiveness sincerely, it will break the karmic obstruction. Then you determine not to repeat all this karmic negativity. That's why you invoke the determination to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping your precepts. Then you determine to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, following Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then arise constantly the four right effort. Then you determine to purify your mind, to develop the wisdom so that you need not suffer when you confront the eight realities of the First Noble Truth, so that you understand clearly what this form and mind is all about, what this physical form is all about. It's made of elements, the four elements, goes the way of nature. Without any consciousness or knowing, this physical body can never be you. That's why don't foolishly cling on to it. Worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. This is not you. These are elements that will go the way of nature. If you don't take care, it will fall sick. If you take care also, there is a limit to what you can do. It's not like a car. No matter how well you maintain, finally, these are durable parts. You know what is durable part? They got wear and tear. Sooner or later, they will break down. So when you have problem, you need to service it, overhaul it, or upkeep it. You can. But when it breaks down, you need to replace. Vehicle can, a lot of new spare parts. Genuine also got, imitation one also got. They ask you which one you want. But organ, you cannot look for spare part. No. You sometimes have to buy, and it's illegal to sell organ. No. But now with the advancement of medical science, maybe most people are more fortunate. Like now I was told, your eye, your cornea, your lens. Now you got artificial lens. My father used it. It was beautiful. Perfect. So well done. And he don't believe. No. Yeah, he got cataract and all those problems. The moment the lens was changed, he told me after the second day. He said, like a newborn child. No, he said, the eye is like new. Everything is so clear. That last time he can't even cross the road. Yeah, he can't see. Yeah, crystallized and all that. So now technology is so good. So hopefully by that time, 10 years from now, all the spare part available. Because they got this, what they call, what? They draw 3D one. No, stem cells and another one. This one is a 3D. 3D printer. 3D printing. They can really print it out and create an exact prototype. Yesterday we had our class dinner, MU1. One of them told us, I think Lee Kok Meng. He said he got a friend, 70 years old. He changed his entire kneecap. Titanium. Not cheap. But after he done the surgery, he find it so good. I said, I should have done it earlier. I said, yeah, the whole thing now, he replaced. It's like a robotic leg. No more problem. All his previous problem all gone. But they say not everybody is so lucky. But not cheap now. Because it's quite new, that technology. He spent quite a bit of money. But available already. So a lot of things actually already very advanced. Now the brain surgery, they can do keyhole, no need to open up your skull. And it's very accurate and very successful. Where my elder brother, the elder son, did it. And he recovered. That doctor was very good. The life like killed the one. Gone already on, actually. He got a stroke. And the MRI come out. They send it to all the various hospitals. Nobody dare to do. Except this Sunway professor, doctor. Very good. He look at the thing, he straight away reply. He said, I know how to handle this case. So send there, because he got insurance. Covered $200,000, just enough to spend on the surgery. But he recovered. They were very grateful to the doctor. They sent him a special plaque in honor of what he has done. That's why you have good karma, you will meet our good doctors. But if you yourself, certain life or past life, cheat people, deceive people, non-ethical, I tell you, this life you come, you will meet up with doctors who are non-ethical, who are deceiving, and then you cannot back. That's why have right livelihood. Don't simply do things. Sometimes because of selfishness, they do all this funny thing. Then the third step is, after you determine this, you can actually develop a lot of what they call merits. Because when you keep your precept, it's a meritorious action. When you vow to follow the advice of the Buddha, attend Dhamma class, the 10 meritorious actions, you perform them all. Listening to Dhamma, straightening your view. Then you meditate, you pay respect. Then you offer generosity, dana parami. Then you share merit, transfer merit. You provide service to the Buddhist community. Then you help out in various ways. So all these are the 10 marital sanction that you get to perform. Then when you keep your precept, there is a very high merit, marital sanction. You pay respect to all the great beings. The merit is also immeasurable, limitless, if you have the faith and the understanding and the mindfulness. Then all these are your spiritual wealth, spiritual money. You can use it to help yourself and help others. You can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to help yourself and help others. Most cultivators will invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish and the heedless, beat up with the wise so that enlightenment in the here and now can be realized. But sometimes you have sickness, you have problem, you can invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for you to recover to normal state of mind, normal health, or for you to resolve whatever problem you have amicably so that you can gain back your life, you can have your peace of mind. Or sometimes you can invoke power of merit to help other people, when there is condition to help, when there is affinity. So all these are the understanding. That's why if you go through all these three steps, you can recover from your karmic obstruction, your karmic problem. And this can apply to all cases, whether you're Christian or Hindu or whatever religion. It's not about religion, it's about truth. When you understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, you know that this follows truth. Then if you are sincere, you have an open mind, you just sincerely seek forgiveness, repentance, then determine not to do all these things to people. Then you determine to develop the cultivation, the merits, the wisdom, then invoke power of merits. And all this will give rise to causes and conditions for you to recover and become beautiful. That's why this Buddhist teaching is very different. So, Angie, okay? Okay, we continue. Oh, good. We still have half an hour plus. Okay, then the second part is, how can we put the Dhamma into practice to develop the cultivation? This one also very important. After you know the reason why you seek, then you have to develop the understanding to cultivate the Dhamma and put them into practice. So that night I went through. So this part is very useful. How through memories, accumulation of experiences, good or bad, then the scars of memory, then our memory hold on to a lot of perception. And when you don't have the understanding, all this memory become problem. Because thought is respond to all this accumulated memory. That's why your fear, your phobia, your scars of memory all come from your accumulated memory. You hold on to them. And because you hold on to them, when you use them to act, you act with your fear, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your belief system, your tradition. So all this is evil root, wrong view. You are not acting at all. That's where all the problem comes about. That every moment of perception, you hold, you cling, you grasp. You grasp to what people say or what you hear, sometimes through superstition and all those things. Then all these are very negative issues. Sometimes fearful, sometimes depressive, make you miserable, unhappy. So all these are the accumulated fear, phobia, unhappiness, sorrow and lamentation, things that affected you very badly in life. Like sometimes child abuse. Then you go through certain type of very severe life situation, like you have been kidnapped or snatched deep experiences. Then sometimes for ladies, after they have been sexually harassed or raped and other things. So all this will leave very strong imprint in your memory. And this can be very, very traumatic and very powerful. But they are latent inside your brain. You've got condition, it trigger off. Then when you don't have the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, you don't know what is thought, you don't know what memory is all about, you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp, you will create your own suffering, misery, without knowing it. So the Buddha's teaching is very simple. To allow you to understand what memory is, what your aggregates of mind is, because your whole of memory is the one that trigger all your problem. As you know, because of memory, thought arise. So thought is respond to memory. So thought are the five aggregates of form and mind, the second aspect. So consciousness and its content become the thought. So when you have this thought arising, if you don't have wisdom, you will be deceived, you will be attached, you will cling. So memory through consciousness or the thought process created the phenomenal world. And the phenomenal world is like very real to you. Even you yourself is so real within the phenomenal world. Then you tend to deludedly grasp, cling and hold on to so many things, your belief system, your attachment, your clinging, your grasping. You believe everything is like real, you own them. Then separation brings about suffering, problem. Then a lot of these are wrong thoughts. Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your misery, your depression, and other things. But you cannot see. Then you land yourself in this state of mind, which is mental suffering. There's a human being suffer a lot. And people who are in depression, they think and think the same wrong thought until it repeated, become a cocoon of thought. Then like a tape recorder, keep on playing in your brain. Then they have this problem they call OCD. You know what is OCD? How many of you haven't heard of OCD? Huh? Everybody heard before, so don't need to explain. Yeah? You know what is OCD? Oh, you don't know, then put up your hand. You see, OCD, O stands for what? Obsessive, compulsive, disorder. So this one is disorder. This one is obsessive. This is about the thought. Obsessive. And this one is compulsive. Then what happens is when you have this OCD, your thought become very obsessive, keep on intruding into your brain. Keep on reminding you, because you hold on to it, you think it's your problem. All this fear, phobia and whatever negativity, where you think and think and think until you are so miserable, so depressed, that sorrow and lamentation is so severe, you have suicidal thought, suicidal tendency. And all this can give rise to a lot of problems. Then when this thing happens, they cannot come out of it because they don't understand. They don't know this teaching. So the Buddhist teaching is very beautiful. It's only a thought. How come it has power over you? Then you have to reflect. What is thought? What is thought? So thought is respond to memory. So when there is accumulation, there is memory, thought arises. So this thought, if you understand, the Buddha called it the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Second aspect of five aggregate of form and mind. And this is the one, consciousness in and its content, that delude you and deceive you and create all the suffering in you. So according to the Buddha, we have to develop mindfulness and heedfulness to see this thought, this second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, see them clearly. When you can see them clearly, then you understand how you become miserable. afflicted, sorrow, unhappy. Then finally, of course, enter depression and all those things. So this is the reason why the Buddha taught you right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So he teaches you what is wrong thought and what is right thought. Wrong thought are thought that are unfit for attention, he say in the Sabbasava Sutta. You know what are the thought that are unfit for attention? Huh? What are the thought that are unfit for attention that you should not pay attention to? And all these are wrong thought. What are they? Things that are not conducive for the holy life. Means you go and think of all those wrong things, wrong issue. So the Buddha say, if you think the wrong thought, things that are unfit for attention, all of your mental hindrance, your evil roots, your asava, they are not there, they will arise. Then whatever evil root, latent tendency, mental defilement that are in you, they will proliferate and become more and more. Yeah. But that one, you cannot cultivate one, as far as I know. Unless you are a very serious cultivator. Because you don't know why defilement become more and more. Understand? But you can't even be mindful of the defilement. You don't even know what is happening. Like the dependent origin and the tailing last time, Pang said, it's very fast suffering already. Can't even see contact, condition, feeling. Yeah? Feeling, condition, craving. Craving, condition, craving. Oh, cannot straight away react already. Unhappy. Right? It's so fast because without mindfulness, without wisdom and understanding, yoni so manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you cannot deal with mind state and sense experience. It's so fast. So what happened here is the Buddha teach you a very good way to overcome wrong thought. So he said, all of the evil root, latent tendency, defilement, they will become more and more. Not there one also arise. Existing one proliferate and become more and more. In modern term, I change this. I say, to know whether it's right thought or wrong thought, very simple. The moment you are not happy, not peaceful, you are thinking the wrong thought. The evil roots are there. Unhappy state of mind come from evil root, mental defilements. Otherwise, you will not be unhappy. That is the easiest way to detect. So throughout the day, you check if you are mindful. Whenever you are not happy, not peaceful, the evil roots are there. Use that to check. And the other way is, when you think the wrong thought, it will condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappiness. That's why whenever you are unhappy and not peaceful, you have wrong thought. Understand? So this is easier to understand, I realize. This relates to our modern society. And these are the terminology that you are familiar with. Understand? You can feel your fear, especially when you got problem, you project your thought, especially health problem, very fast on that fear, intense fear. And you know what is fear? Negative energy field. It will lower your immune system. Even your sorrow, your lamentation, it will stress you out. And a lot of people tell me, the heartache, you know what is heartache? Sim tia. Sing tong. Heart can ache on. Oh, I didn't know. Really? They say very miserable. They just want to die. That's how the suicidal thought comes. Then the stress is like terrible. But if you have mindfulness and you are so sensitive, you cannot reach that level of intensity. Understand? To me, if you reach that level of intensity, you completely are not cultivating. You don't have mindfulness. You are not sensitive. If you have mindfulness and you are very sensitive, the slightest movement inside, the slightest movement of discomfort, or slight unpleasantness, or the slight reaction of mind, the very subtle one, you straight away feel. That's why you cannot fall back. You cannot become afflicted. Because it's so sensitive. That's why mindfulness is very important. But if you are lost in thought and continue to dwell on the wrong thought until you become depressive, miserable, also you cannot understand, then nobody can help you. Because you suffer without knowing you are suffering. But this mental suffering so make you miserable through the mental, and yet you cannot see. Means you still think this is normal. You still blame people on that guy lah, make me like that and all those things. So what is important here is I contemplated, reflected, and came up with another very good understanding that will wake up the depressed people, the sad people, the miserable people. This thought, you should tell yourself when you are born into this world, karmically conditioned, and come to this world, you are endowed with the consciousness trapped in the human body, true or not? That is your mind. With together with the physical body, the senses, it can create thought. Understand? So thought is a tool for you to come to this world to use. And tool is T-O-O-L. Huh? I better write it down. So this is a tool. Yeah? For you to come to this world. So if it's a tool, like a knife, you know that it's for you to cut fruit, cut veggies, shape things, and help you to do things. But if you use that knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, and hit out at others, is that the right way to use that tool? It's wrong, isn't it? Then why did you use your tool and make yourself miserable, unhappy, full of fear? And what is thought? Arise, gone. He has got no power over you. But who give him power? Through your delusion. You attach, you cling and become sad, become miserable. You project your thought and become fearful. It's not a reality yet. But you are, what if? What if the test come out positive? The biases come out positive? Then you panic. What if the police come to know? What if they found the drug and all those things? So all this is creating your wrong thought, projecting your wrong thought, and using it wrongly. That's why the Buddha teach you to use right thought. And what are right thought? Never thought. They only mention in the sutta or in the text. The four Brahma Vihara state are right thought. No. They are just the basic four beautiful mind state. That's why you have loving kindness, metta, which is a very beautiful mind state. Then you have what they call compassion. It's also a very beautiful mind state. Then you have mudita, which is rejoicing. Yeah. Then the last one is the equanimous mind. These are all beautiful. But these are not really right thought. These are only the four basic, very good mind state that Brahma carry. But the real right thought is your sincerity, your honesty, your gratitude, your contentment, your kindness, your goodness, your gentleness, pleasantness. These are all right thoughts, without the evil root. But your kind action, your kind speech. There's a right thought leading to right speech, right action, based on right view. So all those actions, speech, and thought that can bring about love, bring about harmony, bring about compassion, bring about understanding, goodness, kindness, pleasantness. These are all right thought, right speech and right action. So right thought will help you, make you beautiful. Where you have a lot of goodness, kindness, your virtue, your respect for elders, for others who have helped you. When you appreciate life, when you start to be very generous, sincere, very pleasant in your approach to life and the way you communicate with people. That's why you speak gently, pleasantly, good, kind speeches that can bring about goodness, harmony, understanding, and make people feel good. Like you say, thank you so much for helping. Yeah. Then I am so and so. Yeah. May I help you? Yeah. Do you have a problem? So all these are gentle, kind, and good speeches. But if you are emotional person, angry person, you straight away react and get angry. People hear you on the phone also doesn't want to continue the conversation with you. They just put it down. Especially if you are in the service industry, you have to learn all the proper speeches. That's why now there are management courses that teach company to train their staff to have all this goodness, because they know the importance of having this virtue to be a popular bank or a popular company, to have staff that can bring forth the communication skill to get business and all those things. Okay, I have to rush a bit. So if you know it's a tool, then you will look at it differently. Then you will tell yourself, yeah, why am I so stupid to allow my thought to make me miserable, unhappy, fearful, until become depression, until OCD, all these things happen. If you wake up to this, what will you do? I will not be so stupid. If I compare with the knife, I will understand that when I use the wrong thought, what happened? I harm myself, I hurt myself, and I abuse other people with the wrong thought. Abusive thought. And there's a wrong way of using that tool. Then you will understand why the Buddha teach Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought. We have got karmic. That's why you keep your precept. Your speech has to be right. Right speech. Right action. Right thought process. So if this you cannot cultivate through your four right effort, then through your mindfulness, you are not a real Buddhist. You are not cultivating the Buddha's advice at all. Well, he talked about mindfulness, heedfulness, to see your thought, to root out all this wrong view, to root out all this delusion, straighten your view, so that you understand all this and develop mindfulness to be sensitive, to understand what constitutes evil, what are defilements. All this, when you understand, then only you can be mindful of them, you can put them into cultivation. Then only you can determine to arise the right effort to abandon them, and the five ways to abandon wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then the right effort to prevent them from arising after you have developed the initial understanding. Then after that, the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. So this is the whole process to develop the cultivation. Okay? So this one can help cultivator. Even depression or what, no problem. You will come out of it. Yesterday, I held a class dinner. We mentioned about one classmate, first class honors, went into depression, very severe. And until now, still cannot come out. Then, Wee Chi Hong looked at me. Wee Chi Hong know I'm very good in this field. He said, Dio, can you help? I said, it depends on the condition. Yeah, unless there is condition. Because if they don't believe this type of teaching, because I say this one very severe, needs spiritual understanding. You have to ask for forgiveness, not easy. Then you have to repent, follow the advice of the Buddha. Then invoke power of mind. If he is willing, then there is a chance, there is a possibility. I say, just let it be. Then after that, they cannot understand. So two of them asked me, hey, how you help people? Then I told them about this wrong thought as a tool. Immediately, that three Christians straight away saw the thing. He said, what Theo said is very good. Correct, it's a tool. Why are we so stupid? We are one of them. We are mostly silver engineer. There's one electrical and one chemical. The rest are all silver. So, silver engineer, is it? He went into depression because he too perfectionist, is it? Cannot take people's scolding. You know, in our field, you as a consultant or as a contractor, the first thing you must learn is in this field, you must be able to take all the firing, the screwing, and all those things. Otherwise, you cannot be a contractor. Otherwise, you cannot be a consultant. So they say, he too soft. We are first class honors. Then too perfect and all those things. So what happened was, one of them say, I think, Christian, he's a Christian. He say, I don't care whether client or architect, it taro me, I taro him back. Wow, oh, that is his style. That's why I got no depression. He said, oh. Then other people add in other things. Then we all had a good discussion. But at our age, we talk more about sickness, disease. That's why whole kneecap change. Got one person, the doctor advised him to do keyhole surgery. You heard of keyhole surgery on the knee or not? Then they say there is a piece called meniscus. At first I thought meniscus. He said, my meniscus tear. So I thought meniscus tear. Then somebody say, is the kneecap tear? There is one, don't know what is it. So that one needs surgery. Then it seems they say Lee Chong Wei also had this problem. He had a very good surgery, then he recovered. So now technology is very advanced, have faith. Understand? Don't think artificial one no good. You can be bionic after that. Bionic leg. So you don't know. Okay, we better continue, otherwise we don't have enough time. So you can put the Dhamma into practice to develop the cultivation, eye control. Then number four. What must we do to qualify as a true Buddhist, to be worthy, to be a worthy disciple or devotee of the Buddha? We must at least heed his advice, see? Like what I said just now, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind. Hence, the religious label claiming to be a Buddhist is not important at all. So this one, I hope you all understand by now. Then, benefits of being a Buddhist. Dhamma can help transform and improve our life for the better. Arise inner peace and clarity, leading to wisdom, can allow us to live the noble life, take care of our karma, and to develop more karmic wholesomeness. To have a better understanding of life, to enable us to confront the eight realities of life and existence with understanding and ease, so that we don't have to suffer. Then the Dhamma is very scientific, no need to believe anything because it's based on nature's law. Understanding the importance of cultivating the three phases of Dhamma, pariyatti, learning of the teaching, patipatti, putting the teaching into practice or cultivation, and pativeda, to lead the noble life, we are reaping the fruit of one's hard work. So all these are very beautiful. Then importance of training the mind to be mindful, to develop the silent mind, leading to inner peace and inner clarity, to see things as they are, and to awaken via insight into the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, to liberate the mind. Then Brother Suyan's friend, Brother Eric, a newcomer, his reason for attending the class is to be happy. That one is from him. The answer from Kayamitas. Why do we seek religion? To be happy, to have peace of mind, to understand life and its meaning, to help overcome one's problem of life, to end all mental and physical suffering, to seek enlightenment or wisdom. Then next page, 11. The reality of life and existence that can cause suffering are relationship failure, financial, health and career related problems, disease, death, separation from our loved ones, and things that we hold on to dearly, like our prized possession, wealth, property, etc. When our expectations in life are not met, when we cannot get what we want, when things don't go our way, fear of dying and fear of the unknown. This was added by NG. Fear of the unknown. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths, which is like the secret of life, because it can summarize to us all of life, both the mundane and supramundane, into just Four Noble Truths. The importance of meditation to investigate and find out who am I, what am I, and what is this human being all about. The importance of doing the five daily contemplation is in the chanting book. Then 15, importance of understanding the right view with regards to law of karma. This is the first right view. Then when things do not go your way, you always have two choices. First, like normal people, react to it and project your thought, your wrong thought, to arise the suffering and the misery. Second is not to act according to memory, but act according to wisdom via following Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve all issues amicably. So this original draft was prepared by Puanqi. Then the link to our website, the Dropbox, and also our website, MP3 link, they are down there. Yeah? You just have to Google brotherteo.com. Yeah? Then the link will come out. Yeah? The Mahayanamitta link will come out. So inside there, all the Tuesday class recorded, short note, everything is there. Yeah? Even if you lose this copy, you go to the website, they are all there, uploaded. Yeah? For you to develop the understanding and the cultivation. And all these are very, very nicely compiled. For that, you have to thank the committee member who did up the website, especially Sri An, got us the Brother Lau, his ex-boss, to help us do it up. Then Chin Hao, then Brother Tiong. Brother Tiong also did a very good job. Then there are other people whose name are listed in the website. They have helped out in many ways. Then all those who did the transcript, proofreading, then sharing or whatever question and answer that they have given. This bring about all the good condition for this book to come out. Then of course finally the Kayanamitas. It is the Kayanamitta Fund that print all this book for free distribution so that you all can get it free. And all those people who help do the typing, typesetting, draft transcript, then of course I do the editing and all those things. And finally they have to reformat it. Brother Tune did the reformat. Then he and the wife get the printer to help us to print them. Then Sui An, Mifo Hong, Pamasuri, Brother Tio and myself, we help to distribute this book. If you need any of this book, you can come to any of us. And Miss Lee also at the Sunday class, Wu Ping Ching, she also has some of the books. If you don't have enough, you can see us. We should have enough to give around. Okay, what's the time? Oh, still got 5 minutes. Okay. Maybe if you got any question, you can go through. Do you have any question? This style of short note, is it useful? Useful or not? If it's useful, then we will continue to do it. Otherwise, I realize that after you go back, even after you listen, you may not get a lot of the meaning and the understanding. And because it is in short note form, you can read it. Then you can listen again. When you listen, there are more things inside there. But with this short note, you can follow. It becomes very different, very clear to you. Then you can absorb. You can absorb. That's why don't assume you know. That is the most dangerous one. If you assume you already know, means you don't really find out. When you find out, you check. You realize you haven't known. Because Yun Chan did the transcript, she know. The first transcript that came, the thing she tried to express was not stable. The understanding was not stable. So what she wrote was a lot of things out, but it's good training. Because I told her, it is from this you learn. Last time Miss Lee also like that. Because they can't express it out, and it was so different. When you have to do the short note, you are forced to express it out, express what you hear. And I know they got no time to re-listen to the whole thing. And they want to prepare short note, they cannot copy what I say. So they want to prepare short note in their own words. It's not easy, I tell you. Only a few Kayanamitta who has that ability. Puan Chi has improved a lot because she did a lot of transcript. And I corrected the earlier transcript. And her English was good. Then Man Yuan also very serious on. That's why she can do it. Then slowly, I think Yun Chan will also benefit from it. These are the things that will allow you to put yourself to test. Because when you try to express all this, it's a real test. How many of you went to the Form 5, Form 6 exam? You have gone through, isn't it? And do you know, when you are confident of doing well in the exam is when you are very confident. No, not when you can answer all the past year series, when you can understand all these things, then with the textbook closed, you can write the definition out. That time you know you're very good already. Very few people can match you already. Then what type of question come out also no problem. You have to do until like that. Means all the hard sutta know, read already, close the book, write it out. Of course, to memory, when you cannot, thought is respond to memory. If you continuously recite this, then no understanding, it will come out by itself. But when you understand, you don't have to remember. You will know how thought come about. Without memory, no thought. That's why baby, no thought. Understand? Newborn baby don't have memory. They only learn later when you teach them. Papa, mama, then they learn. Understand? Then they start to laugh. Kak, 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 kak. But they got problem, they cry. This is their natural response. Understand? Pure clean slate. Nothing is there. But when you start to condition them, teach them all those funny things, the words, the concept, then you give them a name. Then you say you Chinese. Then later bring them to temple, you Buddhist. Again another label, and all this is the self-delusion, understand, the atta. But they learn, they are conditioned to believe that they are Chinese, they are Buddhist. Then they are a boy, girl. Then they come out, go to school, again, first thing, name, record book, then report card. Then they call you by attendance, so and so. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Then after that, exam also got name. Everything also got name. Then you have your birth cert, then you have your IC, then you have your passport. You identify yourself like this self-delusion becomes so strong. How to decondition all this? Without the Dhamma, you cannot. That's why you cannot force yourself to believe that this is not you. That is knowledge, no use. It cannot help you. When situation arise, you cannot cope. But when you truly realize it through the silent mind, through the meditation, then when you experience it, when the consciousness is silent or out, this one is not you. You can see, you can feel, even when the mind is quiet, silent, still, then you know the thought that arises is dependent, originated, conditioned, right? Not real, not you. It's a conditioned arising mind. That's why you have two mind, the true mind. You must realize that true mind, otherwise you cannot meditate. You cannot understand at all. Otherwise, it's all theory, knowledge. They can tell you whatever. It's all knowledge. Then they got no other thing to do. They go and develop psychic and become different people. But what free you is wisdom, nothing else. Right view, wisdom, understanding. That's why you must have this silent mind awareness. Then through that silence, you realize the form and mind that arise is dependent originating, not real, not you. Then the element, this one, when you meditate, you can assume you are dead. Then you will find out how you function as a human being. The consciousness every time try to tickle you, make you move, make you respond and all things. But if you tell yourself I am dead, no response. You see how you experience all those conditioning, dependent originating. At first, it's like not easy, you know. You want to stay there like a dead person without consciousness, without response and all those things. I tell you, it's not easy. Then all the movement inside, the vibration, the tingling sensation, and how the contact from your tactile, then your senses, all, they are all simultaneously active. But as you're silent, the mind goes into stillness. That nature is different. That nature is one with everything, and it can perceive and understand everything without reaction, without movement. That is what meditation is all about. The silent mind awakens insight into realize. That's why no need to know. The silent mind will awaken by itself without thought. And this is what real meditation is. Even in the daily mindfulness, without thought, when you are mindful, continuously aware, mindful, then all of a sudden, you will insight into phenomena. And the form of mind connected to the wisdom will awaken and understand. And this is how enlightenment, transformation can happen. Okay, we better end. 10:30 already. We can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now maybe we will do our sharing of merits, transfer merits. Then you can make your aspiration. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus. Then we shall share and transfer this merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumatha devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana ittavata chameyi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sappa sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Ivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Then one last message, keep this note, those who are going for the retreat. Follow your heart sutta book and bring them along. This one you read through, it helps you a lot in the meditation retreat. You don't know what to do, what to meditate on. Especially with the other two notes at the briefing on the 3rd of March, I will give you all. The Sunday class one was very good. Tuesday class also very good. You will understand what is the true mind, what is the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Then you will know how to develop the meditation. And this year retreat, I'm going to make it very different. A lot of you all will progress. Well, by now, many of you all have understood. Then I will focus on cultivation. Develop the training to really understand what the true mind is, the silent mind is, and meditate exactly to develop the daily mindfulness and all those things. This time, less talking, more silent. You cannot be heedful throughout the day, you cannot. Really, you cannot make it. Then I will have a note, another note that I saw in the 2013. 2013 that time, it was a very rushed preparation. And now I saw that note again, I'm going to re-edit it a bit. So that this one is about a hypnosis, about somebody who went for the 5-day retreat and actually shared with me her experience. Then I modify it a bit so that you will understand how that retreat condition at Cameron Highland is. Then how a lot of things that new yogi never understood and expect. When you read through this one, it's like you have been to the retreat before. Then those who have been to, maybe you don't reflect and contemplate in such detail. You may not see the importance of what is written there. So when I do the briefing that day, I will read through and I will share with you all. Then you all take it back and read, because it is still another 10 or 11 days before the actual retreat, or another almost 2 weeks before the actual retreat. So prepare for it, so that when you are there, you save a lot of time. When I go through, you will understand it much more clearly. Okay, you can pay your respect to Buddha and Kuan Yin and all the worthy ones. Then we end.
All the way to share the profound Buddha Dhamma with us. by saying sadhu three times.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to Sister Elsie for fetching Bratio and Mrs. Steele.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to Brother Sri An and Sister Nippon for inviting us to their beautiful homes to listen to the Buddha Dharma.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sadhu to everyone who participated in the offering of the Dharma tonight.